Your daily routine could be full of hormone disruptors that you don't even know. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, they're all messing with our hormones. And then on top of it, there's the natural hormonal change that our bodies go through, premenopause, menopause, our monthly cycle. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean that we don't also suffer through it. The good news is there are people that care, and we don't need to suffer through it anymore because we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made with only herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. The beauty of adaptogens is that they help your body adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormonal changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. Symptoms like PMS irritability, moodiness, discomfort, uncontrollable cravings. Menopause symptoms like hot flashes or night sweats, racing thoughts, low mood, poor sleep, feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas, no desire to be in bed next to someone, if you know what I mean. Happy Mammoth, the company that created Hormone Harmony, is dedicated to making women's lives easier. And that means using only science-backed ingredients that have been proven to work for women. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's HAPPYMAMMOTH.com and use the code Lexi for 15% off today. Did you know that the average bottle of water contains 240,000 tiny particles of plastic? And with recent research finding microplastics in our bodies and our blood, it's time to pass on plastic and get a water filter that actually works. LifeStraw Home Studio is the only water filter dispenser that removes over 30 contaminants, including microplastics, bacteria, and PFAS. It also improves the taste of your tap water. Its compact design fits perfectly into small spaces like apartments or kitchens with limited space. LifeStraw is also a certified B Corp that gives back. So for every product sold, a child in need receives a year of safe water, and that's over 9 million to date. I like LifeStraw because I can actually taste a difference between my tap water and when I filter it. And I've used other water filters. I've run through 3 or 4 at this point, probably ones that you're very familiar with. This one is by far my favorite. So give it a shot. No more nasties. Use code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, for 15% off the purchase of any LifeStraw home product at LifeStraw.com. Offer cannot be combined with other promotions. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm your host of the Alexi podcast, and thank you for tuning in to today's episode. It's going to be a little different because typically on this podcast, I show up solo, but I have such a special guest today. Recently, fitness has been an ongoing theme on this podcast, and you have one of the most interesting and experimental routes and opinions and strategies around fitness that I've seen.
Thank you.
And I would love to share it with the audience. Miss Caroline, AKA to me, Siafi.
Yeah. Hello, my name is Caroline. I've been friends with Lexi for about 10 years now, and I've been on a fitness journey over the past probably like 6 years. And I think over the past year and a half, I've really dialed in and gotten really experimental with it, gotten really refined with it as well, and figured out what works for me. And that's been super cool and exciting.
Prior to this, what was your relationship with fitness?
I have been consistently working out probably for about five to six years, where it's been like consistent part of my life, where it's maybe 5-7 times a week.
Consistent.
Yeah.
Like top visitor of Barry's Bootcamp.
Yeah. And so before training for the marathon, I was really big into Barry's Bootcamp, and I've done like actually 1200 classes at Barry's.
Yeah, when she said she's consistent.
Yeah, I show up.
To stay the least.
I love Barry's Bootcamp. That's been a life-changing thing for me, and really transformed my relationship to my body, to fitness, to pushing myself. It was such a positive thing for me, and I'll always love it, but definitely moving away from it for a little bit just to refine my goals a little bit. Now I actually have a run coach, and she programs all of my runs for me. There's specific paces and times that I have to hit. Usually I do those alone, but sometimes I'll go running with other people, and that's always fun too.
What are you training for at the moment?
I am currently training for a half marathon, which has been really exciting and fun. I last year did 2 full marathons, and I ran the LA marathon and then a marathon in Las Vegas. The LA marathon was actually my first marathon. It was just so much fun. After I did it the first time, I was like, I need to do that again. Now I am training for a half, which I'm still doing like a 14 or 16 week program, but it's been cool to decrease the volume a little bit, and I'm excited to see how fast I can run a shorter distance than a full and see what happens.
Can you walk
us through a typical week?
It depends on if I'm training for something in terms of running. I mentioned I'm doing training for half, so I'm running 5 to 6 times a week. But my ideal training split, I hybrid train. So I run and I lift. Monday, upper body, bicep, tricep, shoulders. Tuesday, lower body, glute focus, hamstrings. Wednesday, I like to do a tempo run, so pushing my pace, incorporating some speed work. Thursday, quads. Friday, rest and mobility. And then Saturday, an easy run and a back workout. And then Sunday, a long, low heart rate, easy run.
Which is incredible.
Thank you.
You're a goddamn athlete. And then you look sexy and adorable the whole time you're doing it.
Thank you. I went to the gym the other day and I had these little pink metallic ballet flats. And this woman was like, how are you going to be lifting the heaviest of everyone in this gym and walk out of here in those pink ass slippers?
That's what I'm saying. I had you on Pick My Fit because I think you have one of the most eccentric styles out of anyone I know. It extends into your wardrobe, your art, your home, your workout outfits, like lifting the heaviest of anyone in the gym and then wearing
like a little pink flirty set.
Having rainbow nails and I don't know, like red streaks in your hair. It's so good and so special and I think so inspiring for me as someone that really likes to train hard. I was talking about this with a friend. I go to these circuit training classes and I'm so bubbly and goofy and oscillating on almost ditzy in my personality. But when it comes to a workout class, I'm a fucking unit. I'm training like I'm trying to train for the military or something. And then I leave and I'm like, ah, okay, fun everyone. And I think at least online or what I was seeing in my personal life, you know, you had like the fit girls that were in there. Gymshark and you know, and then you had the fashion girlies and there wasn't much crossover of being in a cutesy little outfit and it being just as serious and then also being just as silly and fun.
Yeah, and I think there's space for both and I love that you have that same like mentality. For me, fitness is arguably like one of the biggest parts of my life. I adore working out. It's changed my life. It is a huge part of who I am and my daily practice. But it's not my goal to be a personal trainer. It's not my goal to make money off of fitness. It's not my goal to be competitive in fitness. It's just a part of my life. And there is sort of a gap maybe in like what we see online. There's like professional athletes and fitness influencers, and then that's it. And it's exciting to see people incorporating healthy patterns into their day-to-day and not being ruled by fitness and just having it be integrated into who they are.
Yeah, where the fitness lifestyle is your personality.
Yeah.
I think you have your whole style and your whole personality, and then on top of it, you're a goddamn bodybuilder. Just on the low.
Just on the low, yeah. I have come out recently as a strong person.
Caroline's recently come out as incredibly strong.
I posted these photos of myself where I'm half naked, basically. And everyone was like, wait, what? You're jacked.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, just letting you know.
But reeling it back into your training, you're going to do a half. You've already did 2 marathons. So you're just working on speed this time?
Yeah. After I did my 2nd marathon last year, I got a qualifying time for the Chicago Marathon and Boston Marathon.
What does that mean?
There's a few marathons in the world that are called the World Majors, and it's like New York, Chicago, Paris, London, Berlin, and they're very challenging to get into because they're the biggest races.
You can't just sign up for...
With New York, it's a lottery, and so you could be selected at random, but you can also run it with a charity or you can qualify. And New York actually has a really competitive qualifying time. It's like a 3:15 for women in my age bracket. The qualifying time for the Chicago Marathon, which is apparently just a really fun race.
Fun because of the community, because of the training?
Yeah, these are like huge races. Like the whole city comes out and it's a flat race. The crowds are just apparently insane. People say that like that in New York, they're life-changing races. Like it's so many people show up. And
did you cry after your marathon?
Of course. Also, I'm like screaming out. Like I was like looking around and no one was like screaming out like I was. I was kind of like, how are you guys just not yelling?
You don't want to emote the entire time. You don't have a sound that's traveling
and then people,
you right
and
now?
And then like the medic came up to me and was like, are you okay?
No.
And I was like, I don't know. I'm just like screaming out. I can't control it.
It's a spiritual experience. There's something deep inside of me that needs to be released.
It's like when tennis players make the noises when
they run.
You just have to.
Who's the girl in hot pink that keeps screaming?
Shrieking at the top of her lungs.
So you get a qualifying time.
So yes, I'm running the Chicago Marathon this year, and I kind of felt like one marathon a year was maybe good. So I'm running this half sort of as like a maintenance phase before I start getting into my Chicago training block.
When you were running a marathon, you're running 26.2 miles.
Yes.
What are the repeating thoughts in your head as you are running?
You come up with mantras that really work for you, and it is so much more than just running. It's actually not about running at all. It's like running is like the least of the things that's happening. Like, it's so mental. And especially if you've done the training block, like, your aerobic fitness is there and you are able to complete this. And so it is really a battle of mental fitness. A lot of things that I like to say to myself are like, you are equal to this challenge. And in the Las Vegas, because I was going for a specific time goal, my goal was sub 3:30. And I kept saying to myself, you are worthy and you are qualified to get this time goal. You are capable and you are worthy of it.
When you're saying this to yourself, are you repeating them over and over again, or does it feel like every mile or so you have to repeat this to yourself?
When you are running like that, you sort of like fade in and out of
consciousness,
and like you like kind of black out a little bit, and then you come back, and then you start to feel pain, and you have to work with the present moment of whatever is happening. And there's also things that happen within, because you're not just like going on a run alone. You have spectators and there's people running alongside you.
Sometimes you're running like someone really irritating.
Right. Sometimes people get in your way and there's a lot of stuff happening. So what was frustrating you about?
She loved to sprint and then walk So I'm holding a steady pace, which is fine. Take whatever strategy you want. I was just doing it for the sake of, it was a Mother's Day run. Yeah. I did it with our friend Drew, right. Who also has lost his mom, and we thought, since we're both really into fitness and it was a Mother's Day half, let's do that.
Yeah.
I'm running my steady pace. She would either be sprinting past me or I would pass her when I was walking, and I'm like, I just don't want to do the race near you. I don't want you to be here, but I can't do anything about that because you are here. We're both here.
I had an experience at my last marathon where a man came up to me, and it was mile 20-ish, and I was slowing down. Like, just hitting the wall that happens after you run 20 miles, and you're like, how am I supposed to do 6.2 more? And this man comes up behind me, and he starts yelling at me. He's like, what are you doing? Like, you're stronger than me. You're faster than me. You're not going to finish after me. And he's like getting in my face, and immediately I was so pissed off. I was like, fuck you, get the fuck out of here. Like,
I don't care if this is your way of giving me a pet talk. I don't want to hear
it. So much rage came up. And then I, like, before I responded, because this is all happening internally, like within milliseconds, I was like, you know, this is a repeated pattern in my life. This is something that is greater than this man coming up and
poking
a trigger point for me. And then I was like, okay, you know what? This has already happened, so I'm just gonna let that go, and I'm gonna trust him, and I'm just gonna just go with it. And so I looked at him and I said, take me there. And and then we started running together in silence. And then after maybe like a mile, he kind of was like, I can't keep going, like, go without me. And I was like, you can do it, come on. And like, we like coached each other, and then I said, like, you're equal to this challenge. Not only are you able to do this, you are capable of it, and like, you are 100% able to do it. And he said to me, take me there. And so it was just this really 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 beautiful experience that initially started off by being extremely triggered by somebody else and their energy.
You could have yelled at him and disconnected completely.
Yeah, and instead I had a really, I mean, that's, for me, that was the highlight of my race. And like, that was, when I say running is not the forefront of running, like, so much happens that is outside of running where you are facing parts of yourself that you didn't even know.
It's a microcosm yeah. for your existence.
Yeah. And so perhaps that woman that was upsetting you and frustrating you was triggering something within you that you were trying to work through. And totally. Physical fitness is really the vehicle to move through those things.
Said so beautifully.
Yeah.
That's a beautiful
thank you. And now Drew is training for the LA Marathon this year.
He's so inspired by yeah. you. He talks about you all the time.
You are his inspiration for this.
That makes me so, so happy.
I think when he's running, he thinks of you. I think you are his coach in his head. And I completely agree with what you're saying, that when it comes to physical fitness, running in this case, but just generally, it's not really about fitness
yeah.
at all, especially when you're running for that long. Have you read Haruki Murakami's book, What I Talk About When I Talk About Running?
No, but I've been recommended it, and I think that will be my next read.
Overlapping concepts.
Yeah, and I think, like, you know, we're talking about things that maybe not everyone is able to do. Maybe people will feel watching this, I'm not able to run a marathon, I'm not able to run far. I guarantee you there's another form of spiritual physical practice that you can feel embodied in, and it doesn't have to be running or lifting heavy or achieving extreme fitness PRs. You can simply, like, achieve these things through meditation, there's other modalities, and you really have to kind of figure out what works for you. And, you know, there's some people that just don't like running and that's not their medicine. And for me, like, I've always liked running and I've known that that's something that resonates with me, but, like, I don't like going on the Stairmaster. I don't like boxing. I don't like doing these other things, and I don't like yoga. And some people are so connected to that, and that's everyone's journey with fitness and how they relate to their body is completely different, and there's no right or wrong.
Thank you. Is there anything else that comes to mind that has taken you to these places?
I would definitely say meditation, and I've done actually 10-day silent meditation courses. Before I ran my first one, I had done 3. I really thought about the practice of, it's called Vipassana meditation. I really thought about this meditation technique while running, because there's this sort of philosophy that if we can just witness everything that's happening within and on our body and the sensations and not be attached to pleasure and not be adverse to pain, we will achieve true peace, because we are just witnessing the universal law that everything is always changing. And so sometimes when I'm running, I'm gonna feel pain in my hip. I'm gonna feel really tired. I'm gonna feel, I hate this. I don't wanna be here. If I just observe that and look at it and I don't get attached to it and I don't feed into the story of, yeah, you feel pain and you're failing this run and this is a bad run and you're not worthy and you're slower than everyone else. If I don't feed into that story, I just witness this pain and then it eventually just vanishes. And same as, like, I'm hitting a runner's high, this is amazing. If I don't get attached to that bliss, I'm able to achieve, like, a much more stable and equanimous run that is, like, a safe space for me to explore my internal landscape instead of just, like, oh yeah, I hit that time mark. That was my Vegas run. And then on my LA marathon, on mile 18, I think it was, a Barry's Bootcamp instructor just, I didn't even know she was gonna be watching. She just jumped out of the crowd and she started running with me. And she had actually been one of the first people that I'd ever talked to about running marathons. She had run one previously and I was so inspired and I wanted to do one so badly. And I asked her all these questions. And then, yeah, mile 18, she jumps out of the crowd and starts running with me. I was like, I'm not doing well right now. Like, I'm struggling. And she's like, okay, I'm just gonna run with you. And, like, we're not gonna talk. And, like, let's just go. And she ran with me for, like, 5 minutes. And we just, you know, ran in silence. And it was so, and then, like, after that, you know, she dropped off. And, cause she was literally just a spectator.
Like, ma'am, you can't do this. Get off the course.
And
she's like, I'm doing anything
with them. And she was. And then I just, you know, that, like, gave me so much energy to finish the race. And, like, I just thought about, like, all of the fitness instructors that have witnessed me over the past and guided me on this journey and have given me, like, such a gift of, you know, believing in myself, feeling strong, feeling confident in my body, feeling safe. Like, it's so much more. And, like, all of the people that have shown up when they're going through life and have dedicated their time to coaching and just felt so grateful. And so it's like, and then now she's running it this year. So I'm excited to, yeah, I have a few friends that are running and I just can't wait to cheer them on.
How special.
Yeah.
It's really so special.
It is, yeah.
All that's accumulated to this exact moment. Oh, I'm such a little like sensitive.
Yeah.
Fucking well, how about, I'm how like, about... that's so sweet.
And what about you? Because I know that you, I feel like you've picked up fitness and like...
Here's a fact that may not surprise you. 66% of men are investing in the stock market compared to only 48% of women. Multiple studies have shown that women are actually better investors than men. Why? Because men are overconfident and women actually do their research. The quote-unquote investing gap means less women have the chance to build wealth now and can have huge repercussions down the road when it comes time for them to retire. The good news is that Acorns makes it easy for everyone to start investing. Today's episode is sponsored by Acorns. Acorns is a financial wellness app that makes it easy to start saving and investing for your future. You don't need to be an expert. Acorns will recommend a diversified portfolio that matches you and your money goals. You don't need to be rich. Acorns lets you get started with spare money that you have right now. You also don't need a ton of time. You can create your Acorns account and start investing in just 5 minutes. I believe that financial freedom is the only freedom. So sign up now and join the over 13 million all-time customers who have already saved and invested over $22 billion with Acorns. Head to acorns.com/Lexi or download the Acorns app to get started. Paid on client endorsement. Compensation provides incentive to positively promote Acorns. Tier 1 compensation provided. Investing involves risk. Acorn Advisors LLC, an SEC-registered investment advertiser. View important disclosures at acorn.com/Lexi.
Everyone and their mother has heard of Wegovy and Ozempic. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, which is the same active ingredient as Ozempic and Wegovy, but for 80% less. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with a licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. The four reasons I like Effecty are 1, upfront pricing. They're transparent, it's fair, and there's no hidden fees, unlike a lot of the companies out there. And there's no membership required, and you can cancel at any time. 2, hands-on support. So you get a dedicated customer service team and unlimited access to licensed doctors, whether figuring out dosage or helping you stay on track. They are there to guide you. 3, accessibility. No matter where you live, Effecty makes it easy to access GLP-1 treatments, so the entire process is online and remote. And 4, science-backed treatments. The GLP-1 medications are backed by clinical studies showing significant weight loss results. They focus on sustainable weight management, not just helping you lose weight, but keeping it off with science-backed solutions. Ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at Effecty.com with code LEXI at checkout. That's Effecty.com, EFFECTY.com. And use the code LEXI to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no memberships, and no hidden fees. Get started today.
I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, rejoin.com.
I love your journey with it because you're also one of those people that is like, well, I'm going to go rock climbing and I'm going to go boxing and I'm going to go golfing or play tennis. And like you try a bunch of stuff, which I think is so cool. And what's your relationship to it all?
I like play.
Yeah.
Play is really important to me. And I grew up playing sports. And then of course, play is such an integral part of childhood and early adolescence. And then when I turned 18 and graduated high school, I started feeling that my fitness had to be looks-based.
Yeah.
So I got an LA Fitness membership and I hit the elliptical. And then right. I was, I don't know, just all of a sudden my whole mindset around it felt, okay, well, this is what you need to do to maintain a physique to fit in to the look and the standard that you want. And play was completely eliminated from the equation. And then when I moved to New York, this feels really pick me, but I promise it was bigger than what I thought. But I was really interested in the skateboarders. I know. Shut up, everybody. No. They looked like they were having so much fun, and It was social and it was a hangout. And then it was sport on top of that, where skateboarding was just the vehicle that this was happening.
Yeah.
Rock climbing was really important to me because that's a hobby that I had as a child. So it brought me back to memories that were forgotten. I don't often think about my 7 or 8 year old self. And rock climbing was really important to me during those years of my life. That's so I channeled into my childhood and then also got to be competitive. And now I get so excited to physically move my body, the mind to muscle connection. I'm addicted to the feeling of feeling one particular muscle, because oftentimes I think the place that a lot of us spend the majority of our time is in our head.
Yeah.
And it's so great to put all of your focus onto this random spot in your arm.
Yeah.
Okay, this is going to go into my butt right now. Stop thinking right now. It's about my feet right now. Like, even stretching. And I'm that it, oof, that I love. So my fitness journey, which in turn has honestly, not that it's about this, but has ended up bringing the best results to my life, is not having that as the main factor for getting me out there.
The thing that has been most important, people oftentimes ask me, like, how can I get bigger glutes? How can I achieve these goals in terms of my physical appearance? When going to the gym, it's so important to have a why that is outside of aesthetic results. Because realistically, in my case, I've been working out very consistently for about 6 years, and it's a multi-year long endeavor to build muscle, to achieve athletic goals, and it's something that takes consistency. And I think if, you know, having bigger glutes or slimmer thighs is your main focus for going to the gym, that motivation is probably not going to sustain through periods of vacation, grief, depression, hard times at work, stress. If you have a really substantial why as to go to the gym and it's rooted in something that feels bigger than aesthetic goals, I think that you're much more likely to succeed in those endeavors. And yeah, for me, it's been about feeling safe within my body and feeling safe within the world. And so I think those are my why and my goals when it comes to my physical fitness journey.
I agree. I don't think it's sustainable to get there if that's the main goal. And vice versa, you achieve the glute size.
Yeah.
It's only going to satisfy you for a little bit. That, okay, I did it.
Yeah. And in that,
I have them.
Maybe that is like your initial reason for going to the gym, but there's also something beneath that. Is my actual underlying why that I want to feel more confident? Is that the why? And ultimately, like, maybe you start going to the gym for aesthetic purposes, and through the process, if you remain consistent with it, you will probably start going because you feel that it helps clear your mental space. Like, you feel it helps your health. Like, there's all these other things that will come as secondary factors to working out that will become then the main reasons that you enjoy working out.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. I also enjoy the focus that comes with working out, really getting to zone in on something just as much as zoning out.
Yeah.
Where it's like getting out of your head, but then also really, for rock climbing, for instance, you're hanging on the side of a wall. You are involved.
Yeah.
You are very much involved in every present moment, and that feels really good and really fun.
Yeah.
Fitness is one huge priority to you, and I feel like a passion.
Yeah.
Like a true passion. What else in your life do you feel like has either given you this sort of safety, or do you think this is really pivotal?
I think in terms of safety and feeling connected to my body, fitness has been a huge part of it. But I also think things that I love, watching movies or like being in a creative flow, like all of those things make me feel safe and connected to my body and my purpose. And I think that they're all interwoven in a way that, like, it's hard to pinpoint down like what we're talking about earlier, about how we're these multifaceted people that enjoy working out, and then we go off and wear our fun outfit and create a cool concept for some short film, and they all relate to each other, and it's not one or the other. I think that everything blends together, and that's been really fun to see the ways in which, like, fitness actually aids in my creativity and allows me to clear my mental space and focus in and walk out the world, and then the rest of the day I'm able to then be creative or be productive.
Are you open to sharing some of your fun and experimental little fitness rituals along the way? Frogs are coming
tonight. That is okay, yes.
Well, or little edibles during your 18 mile runs, or your playlist that you choose, whatever is coming to mind.
I think in terms of
let's resituate.
Let's get comfortable. Okay. When you were talking about injuries, I think injuries are something that we all fear. We don't like having injuries, and they are really frustrating and can feel, if you are somebody that has a daily movement practice, they can feel sort of like life ending. Like, it can feel really scary when you get injured. But
also, when you associate your physical practice with your mental health, it's so easy to, oftentimes, if I'm physically ill, suddenly my mental health goes right with it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, is this because I'm sick or because I have depression?
Yes.
It's like, shut up both right now.
Yeah.
Girly.
And so that being said, though, whenever I have gotten injured, I've always really taken that as an opportunity to learn about my body, because one, I'm probably doing something either incorrectly, like with incorrect form, or I'm overdoing it and I'm pushing past a point that I need to. And in my first marathon training block, I actually did get pretty badly injured, and I developed like the worst tendonitis in my knees. Like, there's this one 16 mile run where it's like I was like going up hills sideways. It was pouring rain. I was on my period. A bee stung me. It was like the most horrific.
Wait. Where?
On just like a 16 mile run.
Okay.
And it was so challenging. My knees were in so much pain. And there was maybe like 3 or 4 weeks where I was like, I think I've permanently injured my body. And it would actually be the braver and stronger choice to not run the marathon. But for me, I was like, I just want to keep pushing. And
because it challenges your mantra.
Yeah.
And I'm qualified for this.
And I felt like, you know, I think a lot of people show up to a marathon and they don't know if they can do it. I never had a doubt in my mind that I could do it. If anything, was, you know, completely overly confident, and ended up, you know, doing 2 workout sessions a day, taking it farther than I needed to, and ended up getting injured. And that injury to me was an amazing opportunity to look at what I was doing and how I needed to increase my rest, where I needed to just create more space for relaxation and mobility and all of these things that actually do make you stronger. Rest makes you stronger. And I feel like
that's been a hard lesson for me to learn.
I think it's a hard lesson for a lot of people to learn. And incorporating rest consistently is extremely important. And I think that my injuries in many ways have taught me that. And so I always come to my injuries in a state of gratitude, because I know that it's teaching me something.
God, you're evolved.
Even though I hate, obviously, being injured.
As someone that's so achievement-oriented, and I like to impress myself by being, look at all these things you did. You did so many things when, you know, no one even has to ask me what I'm up to. But if they were and I said nothing, I would be so ashamed. I think you need to do nothing.
Yeah.
Nothing is a beautiful skill.
Yeah, and you just cannot recover and grow. Every night we all go to bed and we sleep and we know that we need to rest to be able to function properly the next day. And so
when rest requires more than just your nightly sleep,
right,
I start to really struggle with that.
Yes, of course. That's for me, like, the hardest part of
because I slept my 8 to 10 hours. Yeah. I should be good to go.
Yeah.
Your body sometimes and
especially needs more. Being people who experience periods and have ovaries and, like, go through a menstrual cycle, like, there are just the span of a month, your energy levels are constantly fluctuating. Like, your needs are constantly changing based on where you are in your cycle. And
do you follow your cycle?
I follow my cycle, like, to the point where I'm, like, aware of it, but I also do, like, I don't sync my training with my cycle because mm-hmm. I just can't. Like, if I'm training for a marathon, you know, but
I'm ready.
Just gotta keep going. But that being said, like,
you're mindful of it.
If I am having intense cramps or I feel extremely lethargic, that's just gonna be an easier day for me. I'm not gonna be hard on my performance that day because I know that there's other factors at play. But that being said, when I got injured, I took it as a really beautiful moment to evaluate, why am I doing this? What would happen if I stopped doing this? And how can I become stronger and heal from this? And one of the things that I you know, experimented with, I'm also very into, like, alternate health and all kinds of alternate healing modalities. And so I got really experimental with it and I tried a bunch of stuff. I went to a physical therapist, which is important. I started going to chiropractic and acupuncture care and doing all of that. And then I also incorporated a medicine called Combo, which is actually like a frog medicine, and it is the venom of a frog that is then burned onto your skin, and you drink like a lot of water before, and it's called the hunter's medicine a lot of times in sort of indigenous practices. And people, there's also like studies around bee venom with like Lyme disease, and small amounts of venom and poison can actually increase your energy, can, you know, help with just healing. And so I did that, and it is supposed to help really a lot with inflammation. And I did notice, like, basically the 4 weeks leading up to the marathon, I kind of went every day before my long run. So I did 4 sessions, and I just noticed, like, my endurance levels the following day when I would go on the run were just way higher than if I hadn't done the ceremony. And so
fascinating.
That's something that I also did, but of course do your own research with that. It's called Combo, K-A-M-B-O. That's something that I also really like about fitness, is like it allows me to then like explore different alt health options and test things out and be funky with it.
What was that? And if you don't want to talk about any of these things, let me know. Wasn't there a shot you got?
Yeah, and so that's another thing that I did that just significantly helped was I explored peptide therapy. And I think a lot of people know peptides now because of Ozempic and sort of weight loss peptides. There are other peptides that help with injuries, tendon tears, and so I used BPC-157 for a few weeks. And it is specifically for like tendon tears, and it helped tremendously. Again, I was doing, you know, I mentioned chiropractor, acupuncture, physical therapy, frog poison. There's like a lot of stuff that went into recovering from that injury. And so it's hard to say like what the one thing was, but I actually have a friend who I recommended. She had like a wrist issue and she was gonna get surgery, and then she started taking BPC-157 and no longer needs that surgery. And so I know that it is really helpful in terms of injuries. It's not as helpful for injury prevention, but it does help with like inflammation. And yeah, again, I always talk to a qualified professional doctor.
Just a girl on a podcast.
Just
it's
a
not
girl
enough.
On a podcast, but it helped.
This is anecdotal advice, but no, I think it's fair to say that you live more extreme than a lot of people.
I do.
So when listening to this, for those who don't know, which also I hope your followers listen to this.
I hope so.
They get to get a little bit more insight into you. But I feel like you oscillate in a lot of extremes in life. And, you know, you can always take a little sprinkle of this.
Yeah. Yeah.
To
I think that's was something that came up for me a lot, is that I through all of these endeavors have realized, like, you know, I'm a very extreme person, and in some way, like, that is my greatest strength. I love that quality about myself. I think
it makes me the best.
Yeah, I think I know if I want to do something, I trust myself to do it. But it is also, like, your greatest strength oftentimes has the ability to also be your greatest weakness, because, you know, I'm pushing myself a lot of times harder than I maybe need to. Or, like, even when I did this last 10-day silent meditation, I was like, did I really need to do this? Like, like, what am I coming here to learn? Like, I've
gone to YouTube and spent 30-minute guided meditation, and I have to go for 10 full days of silence.
And so
I am who I am.
And so I think that that's something that, like, you know, comes up, and I have also appreciated in some ways, while training for a marathon is very extreme, it has shown me areas that, like, yes, incorporating rest is non-negotiable, and it has in some ways allowed me to create a lot more of a balanced routine, which I think is really cool. So
how do you know when it's time to keep pushing and when it's time to take a step back?
I think it's deeply intuitive, and there's certain days where
it is deeply intuitive, but I'm lying to myself. Feel like you always know deep down.
Yeah.
Like, this is hard, but I can keep going. Yeah. Or this is hard.
Is it hurting me to keep going? Or do I just not want to be here because it's, like, raining outside and I'd rather be, like, at home watching TV? Like, yeah.
Totally. Any concluding thoughts on your fitness journey? What you're looking forward to? I know you're running another marathon.
Yeah. I'm just looking forward to, continuing to see, like, what's possible for me. And I actually also have enjoyed when I post fitness content online, it's really, really well received. And it's a little bit scary for me. I don't post that often, but, like, it's cool to see people engaging with that. And so that's something that I'm, like, kind of dabbling in, and maybe, like, interested in being, like, a little bit of an influencer. Well, because, like, yeah, I know that a lot of, like, my friends feel like the knowledge that I share is impactful, and so I do think that, like, it's something that I'm maybe excited to just explore a little bit more. But yeah,
I think it's so impactful as a friend, as a fan, as a follower, because your route has been so unconventional. Mm. I think a lot of the role models I see in the fitness industry are pretty cookie cutter. They either played sports or they had, you know, whatever it is. I'm just seeing a lot of, I see an archetype.
Right.
And you were one of the first people in my personal life and online. Mm. I was like, I just like your approach to this.
Thank you.
It looks more exciting, it looks more challenging, it looks more fun, it looks more stylish.
Yeah.
And I want to get into your personality by asking you some, like, quick rapid fire questions. Coke or Pepsi style. What are your big three?
Cancer, Capricorn. I always get confused because this is actually, like, a very loaded question.
I'm like, quick, rapid fire. She's like, I don't do that, actually.
My mom never shared my birth certificate with me, so there are, like, things that, like, my chart, like, changed when I found out my true time and location. So, So I'm a Cancer, my Cancer rising, Cancer sun, and Capricorn moon.
So far.
Allegedly,
they say. Introvert or extrovert?
Extroverted, yeah, introvert. I value my alone time, but I'm a social, like, I feel like I can talk to anyone.
Crunchy or soft foods?
Extremely soft. Only soft. Crunchy food, I hate.
I don't think I've ever seen you eat a crunchy food in the 10 years.
Yeah, if I'm eating chips, like, we're in a zombie apocalypse, and that is the only option to eat.
Something's wrong.
If I'm eating chips, I am famished.
Short film or feature film?
I feature film. That's the goal. I like to watch feature films and I like to direct a feature film.
Should we take a little moment to talk about Vile?
Yeah. Vile is a short film that I directed with our friend Claudia, and it will actually probably be coming out in about a month or so online, which feels long awaited. Yeah, it's doing a short film is such an interesting process because it goes through a festival cycle and you really can't share it with people. But the premise is about a supermodel whose appeal sort of begins to dim, and she starts going to a magical apothecary to take herbal supplements to try and revitalize her appearance, and things just go a little crazy. And it's actually been cool because it's somewhat in line with themes of the substance. And
I was wondering what you thought when Substance came out, because Vile was created without
any No, somebody commented on the trailer the other day, like, isn't this just a copy of the Substance? I was like, well, this was posted 1 year ago. But I think it's actually really cool because creating a short film like that, it's been like 3 years since I wrote it. It's like something that is creating anything, by the end, you're gonna feel like mixed emotions about it and feel like, oh, I feel so much anxiety about releasing it. And it has been really exciting to see something so well received that is a similar theme and similar like visual style. They're very different, but they do have similarities. So yeah. Wow. Yeah. I mean, they're definitely not competing.
They're both nominated for Oscars. Come on now.
So I'm excited to release that and then create something new.
Mountains or beach?
Santa Cruz, where you get the mountains and the beach. But probably beach. Santa Cruz is fun because you're like in the redwoods and then you go to the beach.
The sun or rain?
Love sun.
Fucking love sun. Okay, recent book you read?
I just read The Girl with All the Gifts, and it's like a zombie apocalypse kind of story with like children, and
do you recommend?
I really enjoyed it. It's actually a very popular book that came out many years ago and then was made into a movie, and my mom recommended it to me and she really likes it, so I enjoyed it.
What about the last movie you watched that you really enjoyed?
The last movie I watched was two nights ago, and it was Sing Sing with Colman Domingo, and it was a beautiful, beautiful movie. It was about like a prison center where men kind of put on this show, theater show in a prison rehab facilitation center, and it was just beautiful.
And my last one, little hippy dippy, what part of nature has been inspiring you the most lately?
I have been really inspired by the colors of the sky and the clouds.
Okay.
What about you? I'd love to know your answer for that. Can we ask all the same questions again for you?
Okay. Last book I read was Bunny by Mona Awad. Oh,
that's in my library.
But the last book that I read that I really recommend is The Shards by Bret Easton Ellis. Mm. I loved it. He also wrote American Psycho. Prep school Los Angeles kids that have too much money and too much time on their hands. And it's written autobiographically. And I find that to be so good because you feel like you're reading someone's diary and it felt that much juicier. Last movie I saw that really impressed me. The last movie I watched that left an impact was Eraserhead.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say, I just watched it.
We were together. Where am
I? Oh, my God. Why can't I remember his name?
David Lynch.
It was on The Passing of David Lynch, and we were together. And, oh, my God, anyone that says that's their favorite movie, fuck off. That's a student film.
It is definitely something.
He was just fucking around.
Yeah. And in some ways, that's really cool and inspiring to see. Yes. But yeah, I think it's
like a little, you know, 50s woman dancing in the pipes is awesome. But don't try to tell me that changed your life. You're a fucking liar. And then the thing that's been inspiring me from nature most lately is Hawaiian flowers. For some reason, any of these tropical flowers.
Yeah, they're so cool.
And shells.
I love shells.
I love.
The beach sounds so good right now.
R.I.P. Malibu.
I know. Oh, so sad.
Because I was going to drive to Malibu as a little sweet escape when Donald Trump came into office. And then my friend texted me, we're evacuating right now. Malibu's on fire. And then I went away for the holidays and I came back and I was like, I need to go back to Malibu. Didn't do that. And they're like, Malibu's on fire. Now the Palisades are on fire.
Yeah. It's so sad.
So take me to Hawaii.
Yeah.
I'm inspired by dogs right now.
I watched, actually, I'll send it to you, this beautiful reel about how nature is like everything that we do, and like the silkworms create the ballet flats that ballerinas dance in, and it's given us the mercury for our thermometers, and nature is everything. Like, nature is this rug, this microphone, like, it's provided everything for us. And so I think that's just inspiring to know, like, everything is of the earth that we are witnessing, and it's cool.
Send it to me.
Yeah,
I'll link it down below. It's been such a pleasure to have you on.
It's been such a pleasure. Thank you all so much for listening.
If Vile is out, I will link it in the description box and in the show notes. I'll have your Instagram down below. Follow along. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. And yeah, just an honor to be your friend and to see your journey. And I'm always inspired by your perspectives and all of that. So thank you for having me.
Love. And if you guys have any feedback, send me a little DM. I'd love to hear what you think about this episode. And I'll talk to you guys later. Next episode. Bye.
Oh my God. Fun.
Fun.